Good morning, everyone. We're running a little over right now, so if you have to check out at the hotel at noon, I will not be offended if you get up and leave, because I know you don't want to pay that extra fee, and I don't blame you. Welcome to Broadway. And Broadway members, make sure that you acknowledge yourself as a member here at the Broadway Church of Christ to anyone you don't know. We pray that your encounter with us today will be one that's uplifting and one that's edifying, and hopefully you will leave here better thinking of yourself and the world than you did when you originally came in. One of the things we want to do is to bring it with Chris. He's not here, but thank Chris for the Wednesday Bible class that he conducted and did a wonderful job on it. Now, next Wednesday, we're starting a new Bible study, and it's a study of the greatest book ever written, the New Testament of the Bible. We will do an analytical study of the New Testament of the Bible, and I would encourage you all to come here because we can all glean something from that. Our lesson today, it's going to be something that we all encounter, and it's called burdens of life. Burdens of life. And we all encounter burdens of life. And what's the antidote to some of these burdens of life? And we're going to explore that this morning, as time will allow, for us to explore the idea of what are these burdens of life? What are these things that weigh on us? What are these things that causes us to not enjoy life as God intends? Burden, definition of burden, is something that's carried. Usually a load, something that's carried. Having burdens is the life of men and women everywhere. Christians are no exception. Merely by our professed faith, we're not immune to burdens of life. There's an old Spanish proverb that says, there's no home anywhere that does not, sooner or later, have problems. So problems are not unique to any one particular person, any one particular group of people. Problems exist in all relationships. Sooner or later, all men and women will have some type of burdens. Many burdens may be seen, but the most profound and distressing ones are often not recognized. The things that weigh heaviest on us in many instances are not recognized. The Bible makes three definitions and definitive statements about burdens. The first one is, every person shall bear his or her own burden, Galatians 6 and 5. Every person shall bear his own burden, Galatians 6 and 5. Number two is, we are to bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ, Galatians 6 and 2. And third, Psalm 55:22 reads, cast your cares on the Lord and he will sustain you. He will never let the righteous be shaken. Cast your cares upon the Lord and he will sustain you. As we explore those three portions of scripture that speaks to burdens, let me just share this with you. Every person should bear his or her own burden. Each of us will have a burden, have a joy, but that's all part of life and part of being a human being. Our burdens are not transferable. Every life is isolated and segregated from every other thing. Every other being. To a remarkable degree, every person lives alone. Even in a crowded room, there are a lot of people alone in a crowded room. You were born into the world alone, and in between the cradle and the grave, most of the time, every one of us lives alone with personal thoughts, personal fears. You were born into the world alone. You will leave the world alone, and in between cradle and grave, you mainly live alone. Being alone is a natural state of being for us as human beings. No person can do your duty for you. No person can live your life for you. No person can do your work for you. God has a program for all of us to carry out. The niche for us is to fill, a task for us to do. He's given a life for you to live separate from every other entity in the world. Aloneness. No other person can believe for you. No other person can repent for you. No other person can confess for you. No other person can be baptized for you. It's a singular event for each of us. Singular decisions for each of us. Singular commitments for each of us. No one can answer you for you at the judgment bar of God. Only you. Everyone must give an account for himself or herself at the judgment seat of Christ, of God. Nobody will get lost in the crowd. There will be no hiding behind others, no hiding behind an organization or an affiliation or an association or a profession. We will be alone standing for God to answer for what we have done, whether good or bad, in this body at this time. There's a danger today that the individual will become lost in the crowd. But God sees the individual. God sees each and one of us just as he sees every grain of sand that's out on that beach. His eye is on the one. That one must know that he or she should do what is right, whether others do so or not. Because each of us is accountable to God for our actions. You can't lay it on somebody else. She made me do it. It was many years ago, and I'm going to date myself. A guy by the name of Flip Wilson used to say, the devil made me do it. No, the devil presented the opportunity, and you made a choice. Because all of us will have a choice whether to do it or not do it. That is our choice. Jonathan Edwards said that resolve that every person should do right. Resolve, secondly, that whether any person does right or not, I will, so help me God, do right. We must all bear our own burdens. Bear ye one another's burdens, so fulfill the law of Christ. Burdens are often community burdens or social burdens, should be shared with others. We should not be insular with those things that causes us a disturbance in our life flow. Insular in trying to handle it all ourselves. Share with others because God gave us others to be able to share our burdens with. And if we find ourselves in such a lonely place where we say, I don't have anybody to share it with, that is a matter of choice. We choose to not share out of a feeling of embarrassment or whatever fear or embarrassment. But we are to share our burdens. Share the burdens of others and they with you. Galatians 6 and 1 says, brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. Gently, not in some derogatory manner or backbiting way, but gently restore that person. But watch yourselves, or you may become tempted yourself. Galatians 6 and 2 reads, carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. Emphasis here is to help a brother or sister bear their sin. Bear whatever it is that's troubling them that they can't enjoy the full measure that God has provided for all of us. Many times the issue is in our own head that causes us so much discomfort, that causes us so much distress because it's all here and not there. And many times we project it there when actually it's here. And when we're right with God here, we will be right with God in the heart and in the head. Here's one of the most neglected tasks of all. If a person has been overtaken by sin, should we criticize him or denounce him or her? a question we need to ask ourselves. Our answer should be no. Ours is to help restore him or her to the spirit of meekness. Rather than being critical, a busybody, the idea is to help restore that person to a right standing with God. That is the Christian duty. That is the Christian way to comport yourselves, is to be about the restoration business of restoring people to a right relationship with God Almighty, rather than bip, 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 backbiting. The idea is to restore the person. And in any instance, restoring a person means no more than lending a sensitive ear and just walking along or beside, be a paraclete, one who walks beside someone else. Just walk beside. Many times people don't need your advice. All they need is your human form there with a caring heart. We can all recall people who began well but left the Lord. We all know someone who started well on their journey with the Lord, their walk with the Lord, but strayed away for many reasons. When people go astray and keep going wrong, it is our responsibility to go after them and try to recover them. It is our responsibility as Christians, when someone walks away, to see what we can do to help, to restore, to bring them back. That is our responsibility, and it should be our commitment to the Lord for all he does for us, is to go after those who have strayed away. If you have 100 sheep and one leaves, Scripture says you go out to look for that one. We must do this in the spirit of love, though, not in condemnation, and not in the spirit of self-righteousness. Do it because I said so, because I go to church every day. No, that's the spirit of self-righteousness, and it's sinful. In a broader sense, we're to share the burdens of all around us. Too many burdens of sorrow. There may be a broken heart in every pew. And I venture to say, there are broken hearts in all over the church. Broken hearts. And we're not attuned or sensitive to realize a person is hurting. And if that person is hurting and sitting in a whole church full of people who claim to be saints, and we ignore or not try as best we can to assist, that is our responsibility, and we will be held accountable. I'm sure you can think now of families with great difficulties and sadness. Please, try to help them take care of it. And I'm trying to give you time now to think of someone that's having very great difficulties. Please, as a Christian, to a Christian, try to help them. All about us, people are carrying burdens, terrible burdens, weighty burdens on the hearts of our teachers, our preachers, politicians, managers of businesses, owners of business. They serve and they lead. Try to make it easy for them to do their responsibilities. How may we help people? The Bible says that Jesus went about doing good. The simplest formula I can think of, just do good. Do what is right and proper scripturally. Jesus went about doing good. Let us emulate the model that Jesus laid out for us. Try as best we can to always do good. That should be our attitude as we try to help others, the idea of doing good. There are several ways we may help people each day. Number one, be a good role model. Live the right kind of life ourselves. Most of the times people don't want to hear a sermon from someone with ulterior motives to show how great they are in church. What they want to hear from you is a sympathetic ear and a helping hand to say, I'm here for you. I'll be here with you. You will not go through this alone. This may be our most significant contribution to our community. The poet Gladstone said, one example is worth a thousand arguments. One example is worth a thousand arguments. One good role model example is worth a thousand times berating and preaching to people in their ear about how they've gone astray. 10 righteous people would have saved Sodom. All it would have taken was 10 righteous people, and Sodom would have been saved. Our most profound contribution is to live the right kind of life. Our most important contribution to the faith is for us as individuals, live the right kind of life. Number two, we may also help people by believing in them. Something my grandfather told me many years ago, well, you can see many years ago when I was a little bitty person, said, God don't make no junk. So everything God made is good. God don't make no junk. I've never forgotten that. Every person you see, God made. Now that person may have encountered things to cause them to make wrong choices or cause them to do things that are contrary to the will of God, but they weren't made that way. They became that way. Jesus came to Matthew, the tax collector, hated by his own people, and called him to follow him. He did. To Zacchaeus, he said, come down from the tree and follow me. Jesus went about doing good and bringing others to the Lord. We're to conduct ourselves with compassion and love for a needy world. And there truly is a needy world. And if not you, who? If not you, who will stand for the Lord and help this dying, decaying world? We're to believe in people. Because one thing we can be rest assured of, every person you meet, God made. There's a story of a little girl sent to the store to buy milk one day. On the way back home, she dropped the milk and spilled it all over the cement. A scolding lady saw her with the milk spilled on the ground, crying. And had seen the incident and remarked, I bet your mother's going to wear you out when you get home. Fighting back tears, the little girl responded, no, she won't. My mother believes in giving me another chance. Lesson learned. No, she won't. You may have if you were my mom. But I know my mom believes in giving me a second chance. God believes in giving you a second chance. This should be our attitude toward others always. We must encourage people. It is a sin to be a miserable discourager. Many people are fighting great battles. They do not need the weight of discouragement tied to them. They need wings put on them so they can fly. And you can supply the wings so people can take flight. Scottish poet Bobby Burns saw a little boy following him around one day. And he asked him, son, what do you want? The child responded, sir, someday I want to be a great poet, a writer like you. Bobby Burns put his hand on the little boy's head and said, you can be a great writer, and you will be. That little boy turned out to be Sir Walter Scott, one of the greatest writers of all time. Until the day of his death, he never ceased to be grateful to Mr. Burns for his encouragement. You never know how far a kind word will go in terms of encouraging someone to do great things. You never know the power of an encouraging word. And we should be a dispensary of encouragement. Psalm 55:22 reads, cast your cares on the Lord and he will sustain you. He will never let the righteous be shaken. Psalmist wrote, oh, that I had wings like a dove. Then I would fly away and be at rest. His burdens were so great that he wanted to run away. At some point in our lives, who has not felt that way? But that would not win, get you out of the wilderness, because as long as we have our memory, we will still have our burdens. As long as you have your memory, you will still have your burdens. The idea is to cast aside those things which causes you, which robs you of the life that God wants for you. And worry does that in many instances. Cast your burden upon the Lord and he shall sustain you. God sustains us in two ways. First, he may take the burden away. Second, or he may give you the strength to bear it. So God handles our burdens in two ways. Take it away or give us the strength to bear it and plow through. Daniel was not kept from the lion's den, but God did close the lion's mouth. The three Hebrew boys were not kept out of the fiery furnace, but God did prevent the furnace, the fire, from burning them. In Gethsemane, Jesus prayed, "If it is possible, let this cup pass from me." It was not possible. He had a mission. But God gave him the strength to bear it. It was not possible to pass it away, but God gave him the strength to bear it. Paul had a thorn in his flesh. Three times he asked God to remove it. We do not know what it was, this thorn in his flesh, but Paul called it a messenger of Satan sent to torment him. God did not remove it, but he told Paul, "My grace is sufficient for thee. My grace is sufficient for thee. My grace is all you need." God gives us an increased grace to bear our burdens. Cast your burdens on the Lord. Do not try to bear them alone. Don't try to stop the flood. It's much bigger than you are. The flood of problems and burdens and things that come your way counter to your central life flow that you wanted to establish. The idea here is do not go through that long, bitter night alone. That long, bitter night represented by problems, burdens, situations beyond your capacity. No matter what your burden is, Christ can and will sustain you. Let me share the secret peace with you, and we'll shut it down in a minute. Again, anybody have to go check out at the hotel, I will not be offended. Go right ahead. Let me share this secret peace with you. In a world torn apart, with burdens, battling confusion, and clouds all about you, learn to cast your burdens on the Lord. Just give it to him. Give it to him. Let it go. He is eagerly waiting for you to call on him in times of distress. Here's a prayer you might consider. "Father, it is so dark I cannot see. It is as dark as midnight. But you love me when it is dark, and I will trust you. I will turn my situation over to you." Henry Van Dyke, in his poem Peace, wrote, "With an eager heart and my will on fire, I sought to win my great desire. Peace shall be my goal, I said, but life grew bitter in the endless fight. My soul was weary, my pride was wounded deep. To heaven I cried, 'God, give me peace, or I must die.' The dumb stars glitter and I receive no reply. Broken at last, I bowed my head, forgetting all about myself, and said, 'Whatever comes, his will be done.' And in that moment, peace was found. Peace was won. Whatever your burden, your grief, your sorrow, your doubt or your disappointment, your regret, your remorse, your conscious failure, dare to cast your burden, yourself, and all your cares on the Lord." As we close it up here, what I wanted to do was offer an opportunity for anyone standing in the need of prayer, anyone, the candidate for baptism, As we stand to sing our song of encouragement, please come forward and we can take care of those things. If you're standing in the need of prayer or you want to commit yourself to a life with Christ through baptism, please come forward. Please stand.